From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Cable Green received his doctorate in educational psychology from The Ohio State University and started its first online doctoral program. He is now the director of global learning at the nonprofit Creative Commons and will deliver the keynote address at Ohio State's Innovate 2014 conference. He has titled the keynote address, Open Education, the Business and Policy Case for OER, in which OER stands for Open Education Resources. Welcome to Craft, Cable Green.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start off with a little bit for folks who might not be that familiar. What is Creative Commons?
So Creative Commons is a nonprofit global organization. And what we do is we create open copyright licenses to make it easy and legal to share on the web. So in many industries, education included, what we produce, what we use has been digital now for 10 or 15 years. So if you think about a textbook, for example, we produce that digitally because of the falling cost of computers and cloud computing and the internet. We can now store that digital file for almost nothing. We can distribute it anywhere on the planet at the speed of light for almost nothing. And we can make a million or a billion copies of that textbook for almost nothing. And so before Creative Commons, that was all rights reserved copyright. And you had to get a lawyer to share that with somebody if you wanted to extend some rights. But what Creative Commons does is it makes that simple and free. And it says, keep your copyright, keep your ownership, and then add a license to share under the terms and conditions that you choose with the rest of the world. So I'm a faculty member at Ohio State, for example. I can write a textbook and I can put a Creative Commons license on it, keep all my ownership, and I can share with everybody else on the planet at the marginal cost of zero. And in education, we think that's interesting.
There seems to be, I think a lot of people would suggest, a disconnect between the idea of keep your copyright and making it available. How does that work?
Yeah, so the way it works is you actually do keep your copyright, you keep your ownership. And then what a Creative Commons license does is it simply extends some freedoms and some permissions that you choose to everyone else on the planet. Now, when I say you choose, what I mean is you might want to say nobody else can make money on this work. And so we have something called a non-commercial license. So you may use this for free, you can change it, but you cannot put it on the web and sell it for $100 or any money for that matter. We also have a condition called share alike, which says if you take my work and you change it, you have to share those changes forward. So this is what Wikipedia uses. They use a Creative Commons attribution share alike license. And then the last condition we have, it's called no derivatives. So that means you can't change my work. So here it is, it's free. You may use it, but you may not make any changes to it. And so different authors, different copyright holders use different Creative Commons licenses to extend the set of rights that they choose to everybody else on the planet.
Now, you are the director of global learning at Creative Commons. Tell me about, with the things you just described about extending rights to different people, what kind of work you do. I see that it's focused on promoting and facilitating global open education. So how does that play out for you?
Yeah, so everything we just talked about the licenses and copyright law, that's really important, and that is what our licenses do. But then the real important question is, what can you do with that? So in education, we think about the technical set of tools we have and the legal set of tools. So the Creative Commons is the legal set of tools to share with everybody on the planet legally and not give up your copyright. So that's really important. On the technical side, we know in education that when we produce something digitally, that we can share it with literally everybody in the world, and it doesn't cost any additional money to do that sharing. And so when you've got those two sets, we ask and have asked for a decade in education, what does this mean? Does this mean, for example, that maybe Ohio State students don't have to pay for textbooks anymore? Is it possible that we could build a really great English 101 textbook and a really great Spanish 101 textbook, or simulations on how to learn chemistry and mix different chemicals in a simulation online? Can we build those resources once, and then can we put an open license on it and share it with everybody in the world? And that's exactly what's been happening in open educational resources now for over a decade.
One of the questions that I'm sure you get a lot are folks saying, okay, we've done this, we've put this online for free. How do we get people to continue to contribute to open education resources? How do we get them to see that as, say, part of a job when previously they might have received payment for it, for example? And this seems to maybe take away from being able to sell a textbook if there's a textbook that's freely available.
Yeah, it's a really great question. And frankly, if there's someone today who is writing a textbook and they're making money from it, then Creative Commons licenses probably are not for them, right? They will probably continue to keep their copyright and work with a publisher and sell the book. And I would say, you know, go forth and do that. go make a lot of money. That, however, is very rare. There are very few faculty in higher education that do make any significant money from publishing textbooks or any other educational resources. Most faculty around the world are paid by their institution to be educators. They do produce resources, and they produce really fabulous resources, but they tend not to commercialize them. And so what educators are asking is, they're saying, if education is primarily about sharing knowledge, and if I'm doing academic research, for example, if academic research and writing articles is primarily about sharing knowledge and pushing my field forward, then what tools are out there to allow me to maximize the sharing of knowledge and information and data? And the answer today is, you share that information online, you share it digitally, and you share it openly. So you don't just put it on the internet, but you put it on the internet and you say, and this is under a Creative Commons license. The reason that's important is if a professor at Ohio State does that, and somebody in, say, New Zealand or China or Bucharest sees that textbook online and they see that Creative Commons license, they don't even have to pick up the phone and call that Ohio State professor. They can just download a copy of that textbook. They can translate it into a new language. They can take the pieces that they want. And then they have to give credit. They have to give attribution back to that Ohio State faculty member. So sharing is actually a way to get famous, if you will. So what we're seeing is that when faculty do share, they put their works up online, they're extending their professional networks. In some cases, new grant opportunities come to them. They're getting speaking engagements. They're being asked to write book chapters. They're getting new job offers. And it's because when you share and you share your great work that you do, people know about you. If you're not sharing, you know, the old cliche is that if somebody looks for you on Google and they can't find you, then you don't exist. That's becoming more and more true in a digital networked world.
What can you share about your keynote, Open Education and the Business and Policy Case for OER at Ohio State's Innovate 2014? Really just the high points that you can let people know about what's going to be covered? Because it will, I believe, also be streamed live and people can watch that.
It will, and I hope many people can attend. And if you can't, obviously all this will be under an open license and freely available and downloadable after the event. So the business and policy case of OER, to sum it up very quickly, is that that publicly funded resources ought be openly licensed resources. So the idea here is that we're all taxpayers and we pay federal taxes. So for example, the U.S. Department of Labor recently put out a $2 billion grant. So that's billion with a B. So we're talking about a lot of money. And they gave that grant out to colleges and universities in the United States to build new academic programs where there are jobs. So there are jobs in allied health, in nursing and the medical sciences. There's jobs in green technology, advanced manufacturing. And so the Department of Labor knows where the jobs are. They gave $2 billion to the U.S. higher ed system and said, go build programs to put Americans who are out of work due to overseas competition or because of the economic crash, put them back to work. And the requirement on all this money is that if you take this $2 billion, you must, as a requirement of the contract, put a Creative Commons attribution license on everything that you build. So why does that matter? It matters because now our taxpayer money that we're paying for as federal taxpayers, we pay for something once and it can be used everywhere. So that nursing program that's being built in Georgia, yes, it's great for those Georgia colleges and universities that are building it, but Ohio can take that program and so can Washington and New York and California. And the national STEM curriculum that's being built, state-of-the-art materials around science, technology, engineering, and math. And yes, it's a Northeast Corridor group of colleges that are building that. But again, Ohio and Maine and Oklahoma and everybody else can take that without asking permission because it has an open license on it. So this is a revolutionary idea that you can pay for something once and everybody can get access to it. And so that's a national view. But Ohio State, one of the things that I'll be suggesting to Ohio State leadership is that to the extent that they are giving out grants or funding the creation of new educational resources, that in fact they could do the same thing. Ohio State could say, if you take this money to build, say, a new textbook because we've given you an extra grant, as a condition of the grant, we'd like you to share it under an open license so that it doesn't just benefit you and your students in your class, but it benefits all the students of Ohio State and, in fact, every college and university in the state of Ohio.
It seems that what you're going for, the model of openness and the ability to use things in many different places, to reuse them over and over, must in some ways create some friction with corporations whose model has been closed. I think it's safe to say for a long time, right? I mean, publishers exist by having a closed system where you have to buy a certain commodity in order to get access to it. And I'm wondering if there are corporations you can comment on as having been particularly supportive or in favor of the kinds of things that you're talking about.
Yeah, so you're very right. The internet and things becoming digital fundamentally disrupt existing business models. So look no further to music, right? Doug, you and I used to probably go to record stores and we bought records. The technology changed, that was gone. So then we bought CDs and we said, well, that's just an evolution from records. But most of us don't buy CDs anymore. We moved to iTunes and or other services like that. And we said 99 cents per song, that's our new model. But that's not even the model anymore. Now what we do is we subscribe to Spotify or some other service like that for $10 a month, and we have access to kind of all of the music on the planet. So in that case, things being digital and the internet really fundamentally changed the music industry, and it's still grappling with what new business models look like. The same thing is starting to happen to educational resources. It just happens a lot slower in education for a variety of reasons that I'll talk about in my keynote at Ohio State. So yes, businesses are struggling. The commercial textbook publishers are trying to figure out what this means. But to answer your question, there are some very positive things happening as well with the publishers. So for example, there's a great project, OER project at the University of Colorado Boulder called PHET. It's PHET. And this is started by a Nobel Prize winning physicist who took his Nobel Prize money and instead of buying himself a boat or a nice house, he invested back into educational resources, and he built these simulations for biology, for chemistry, math, that are interactive, and the students can manipulate the variables. They're all under a Creative Commons attribution license, so they're free. You can download them, modify them as you see fit. Pearson, a big textbook publisher, looked at those and said, wow, these are really great resources. And in fact, they're better simulations than what we have in our materials that we're selling. And because it has a Creative Commons license on it, Pearson legally went in, grabbed all those simulations, and they're starting to use them in their books and in fact selling those simulations. And the great thing that happened, I mean, A, it was fabulous that they were able to reuse them. But the other great thing is that Pearson is now giving money back in a royalty stream to this FET project at the University of Colorado Boulder, essentially saying, hey, we're selling your open educational resources. We think it's only fair that we give you some money back. And we have an interest in doing so because if we route some money back to you, maybe you'll maintain those and create some more high quality simulations that we can also use in our Pearson textbooks.
All right. Well, that is probably the most positive view of an academic publisher I've heard in many, many years. So it's good to end on a positive note. I really thank you, Cable Green, for talking to me today on Craft, and we look forward to your presentation at the Innovate 2014 conference on the Ohio State University campus on March 25th.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.